We are going to be talking about crying out to Jesus in the midst of our hopeless situations. We're going to talk about placing all of our hopes and placing all of our trust in Him and learning what it's like to experience that. And this week, as I was reading through our text, I couldn't help but be reminded about the words to Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. And I started playing those words through my head over and over as I began reading through chapter 40. But I tell you, the verse that really, really got my attention, the verse that really was so fitting to what we're going to read this morning, was the third verse. You heard the third verse of Amazing Grace, hadn't you? It goes like this. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Boy, if that isn't a description of what Joseph is going through, I don't know what really is. Joseph is a man who's been faithful to God, but he has been through danger and toil and snare, strife, difficulty. Joseph has endured it. He's been through all of it. But just as the words were true to John Newton when he wrote them, they're true to Joseph. Because grace is what brought him safe this far. And grace is what will lead him home through this story. And friends, today I realize that there might be some of you here today going through danger and toils and snares in life. But friends, I want you to understand by the Word of God that His grace is present. His grace is sufficient in your time of weakness. His grace is powerful enough to bring you through that. I want to ask you if you would to stand with me for the reading of God's Word in Genesis chapter 40 today. The Word of God says this, "Then it came about that after these things the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. And the captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and they were in confinement for some time. And then the cupbearer and the baker and the king for the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, both had a dream on the same night, each man with his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. And when Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. And he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were with him in confinement in his master's house, 'Why are your faces so sad today?' And they said to him, 'We've had a dream, and there's no one to interpret it.' And Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please.' And verse 9, so the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph, and he said to him, 'In my dream, behold, there was a vine in front of me, and the vine was... And on the vine were three branches. And as it was budding, its blossoms came out, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes, and I squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup back into Pharaoh's hand.' And Joseph said to him, 'Well, this interpretation of it is this. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 more days, of Pharaoh was going to lift up your head and restore you to your office. And you'll put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom, when you were his cupbearer. Only keep me in mind when it goes well for you, and please do a kindness by mentioning to me, to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon.'" Verse 16, "When the chief cupbearer saw that he had interpreted favorably, he said to Joseph, 'Well, I also saw in my dream, and behold, there were 3 baskets of white bread on my head. And in the top of the basket there were some of all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head.' Joseph answered to him, and he said this, 'This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh off of you.'" Verse 20, "Thus it came about on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but he forgot him." Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, there is danger, toil, and snares all across this room in our life. We struggle today, Lord, and we need Your grace. Lord, help us to see in Your Word that You never forgot about Joseph. You never forsook him. You were always there, God, working and orchestrating things in different ways. Lord, help that to be a word of encouragement to us today, God. We are so desperately in need of Your grace. Lord, I pray that this morning You would remove distractions. Help us to see the truth in Your Word. Lord, I pray that Your grace would capture us this morning. I pray that it would capture the heart that's never surrendered to You. I pray that You would recapture our hearts that have already surrendered to You. Bring us in line. Bring us to the foot of the cross this morning. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I pray a blessing on God's Word this morning. You'll notice in your outline today for the message that we're going to look together at how the grace of God shines through in the midst of dangers, toils, and snares. And we're going to notice three things about the grace of God in this passage this morning. But before we do that, I want to point out to you what the Apostle Paul said to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He reminded us of the words of Jesus, the words that Jesus spoke to him, saying that My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And friends, I want to say to you today, if you're going through danger, toil, or snare, please understand that God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace can be power for you in a time of weakness. And I pray that you see that with me today in Joseph's life. Three things we want to notice about God's grace. Number one is this. God places certain people in our life. We see that right here in the story of Joseph, chapter 40 of Genesis. God places certain people in our life. And as we see Joseph's story unfolding, we see two new characters come to the forefront this morning. Two new characters from Pharaoh's court. One is the chief cupbearer, another is the chief baker. And as you look and you think about these two individuals, you might want to say, well, man, what a coincidence. How about that? God just brought these people in their life, or man, this just happened. Friend, don't let us forget this morning. These people were placed in Joseph's life for a reason. These people were placed in Joseph's life by the hand of God. It was not just a coincidence that Pharaoh all of a sudden got mad at these two men at the same time. It was not just a coincidence that Pharaoh got mad at these men and he put him in prison at the same time that Joseph was there. It's not just a coincidence that while they were in prison at the same time, while they were in prison with Joseph at the same time, that on that very night they had a dream, each of them. That's not a coincidence. Friend, you see, God is orchestrating people in certain paths, with certain purposes, right in the middle of Joseph's life. It's all by the hand of God. Ultimately, this was going to help chart a new path for Joseph and ultimately the people of Israel. And friends, I want all of us to be aware this morning that God does the same thing for you. He does the same thing for me. God has placed certain people in our life. And it's not just mere coincidence. He's placed those people in our life to remind us of His grace. These people in Joseph's life, they were a reminder of His grace, a reminder that God is going to bring it all together. Joseph, God is going to work all this for His glory and for His purpose. These people were a reminder of that. Today I want to ask you, what people has God placed in your life as a reminder of His grace? For some of you here today, maybe you grew up with some godly parents. Parents that raised you in a Christian household. Parents that taught you the Word of God. They taught you the importance of being in His house. Maybe that's you. That was the case for me in my life. And friend, don't you think for a moment that that was just happenstance. Don't you think for a moment that that was just a coincidence and it just occurred that way. No! That's the hand of God in your life. That's the hand of God just bringing grace to the forefront. God's orchestrated all that. Some of you here today, maybe you've got specific friends that you've needed right now in your life. You're going through a struggle. You're going through illness in your family. You're going through the loss of a loved one. You're going through a difficult time at work or with this particular struggle right now. And for some of you, you've got a friend that's been through that, that's right there with you. Or you've got a friend that prays with you. You've got a friend that's helping you with all the other burdens you're carrying. And I don't want you to think for a minute that that's just a coincidence. God places certain people in our path for a reason. And the reason for that is so that we be reminded of His grace. We be reminded that He's the one bringing it all together. I want to ask you today, do you have some of those random people that have just shown up? Somebody that you knew from a friend of a friend that happened to get you a job? Somebody that you knew from a friend of a friend that got you to see that doctor you needed to see to get that diagnosis? You all know who it is. And friends, it's another reminder. God's grace is intervening in our life through certain people. This morning, I want us to pause and just think about who are the people God has placed in our life? Let's thank God for that. Maybe today you're saying, Brother Marcus, I don't have those people. I'm just lonely. I'm here by myself. I don't know if God's hand is here or if it's there or if it's even present at all. Friend, I want to tell you today, if even you can't see another human being that God's placed in your life, I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this word today promised you there was a friend that came to you on Calvary's cross. And he was the best friend you could ever have. He is the epitome and the object of what grace is all about. It was Jesus Christ. And if you're here today wondering, has God placed a friend or has God placed a person in your life as a means of His grace? Yes! He has done it through Jesus Christ. Let's see the hand of God and His grace interceding in our life. Let's move on this morning, continuing to notice the grace of God in the midst of dangers, toils, and snares. There's a second way we can notice God's grace in this passage. And it's the fact that God gives us gifts to use. God gives us people, but He also, secondly, He gives us gifts to use. Now, as you study the story and the life of Joseph, you find out right away, as we did a couple of weeks ago, Joseph's got this great gift. He can interpret dreams. And we saw that as he was given a dream by God about his family, he shared that with his family and it landed him in Egypt. But here we see two chapters later, years later, as he's in prison, he hasn't lost this gift. God's given him this gift, and all of a sudden these two people are placed in his life and they've got a dream. And here again, Joseph has got an opportunity to use his gift. We find that the cupbearer comes into Joseph's presence and he's got a dream about this vine that's got three branches and there are some ripe grapes on it, and he squeezed it into Pharaoh's cup. And we see that Joseph interprets that to be a favorable experience for the cupbearer. We see another guy here, the baker, and he's also got a dream, and his dream is about three baskets of white bread that are placed on his head, and all of a sudden birds are eating off of it. And Joseph interprets that. He says, well, you don't have a favorable dream. You don't have a favorable future. Your life is about to end. But nonetheless, what I want us to realize from this passage, it's another reminder that God gave Joseph a gift so that he could use. And this gift was another reminder, Joseph, I've got my hand on your life. Joseph, I'm going to lead you and guide you. This gift you have, it's not from your own understanding or ability. It's from me. That's what God says to him. And church, I want us to know today, God says the same thing to you and to me. God has given every single person in here today, if you belong to Christ, He's given you a gift. Just as I shared with the kids and just as I would share with students, when we have Christ come into our heart, when we surrender our life to Him, it's as if we have a spiritual birthday and He gives us a present. He gives us a gift. Each one of us have different spiritual gifts. And what we are not supposed to do is to take that gift and to hide it and not use it. And there's too many of us in the church today. We have a gift that God has given us and we don't want to use it for His glory. We want to sit on it. I want to remind you of the story back in Matthew chapter 25 when Jesus was telling the parable of the talents. I want you to think about that story. You remember Jesus gave five talents to one guy, and He gave two talents to another guy, and then the other guy He gave just one. And you remember that story, He told him to go, to use that. And you remember the first guy, He used his and it doubled. The second guy, He used his two and it doubled. And then the third guy, He had just one talent and all He wanted to do is tuck it away and hide it. He was complaining. He was mad He didn't have enough gifts. He was looking at what everybody else had. And don't we do that in the church today? Don't we complain about, man, I wish I had a voice like Brother Derek, or man, I wish I had the ability to teach like my Sunday school teacher, or man, I wish I could pray like so-and-so, or man, I wish I had the time to do what she does. And we want to complain about what we don't have. And friends, the story of Joseph is a reminder. God has given you a gift for a reason, and He's given you that gift so you could use it. Because it's a reminder of His grace in our life. When we don't use the gift that He's blessed us with, you know what you're doing? You're saying to God, God, I don't need your grace. I don't need that. It's not important. That's what we're saying to God when we don't use it. And so this morning, I want to ask you to think about, what has God blessed you with? Some of you in here today, God has blessed you with the gift of teaching. And man, you use it well in your school. You use it well in other areas, but are you using it for His glory in the church? Some of you here today, you're blessed with the gift of administration. And you use it well at your office. You use it well in your family or at the workplace or somewhere. But are you using it for His glory in the church? Some of you, you're gifted with the ability to speak. And boy, you put together conferences and you speak before people at different events at work. But are you using that gift for His glory in the church? Today, let's be reminded that God gives all of us a gift. And He gives us that gift so that we're reminded that His grace is moving in our life. We don't have those gifts on our own ability. We have it because God has given it to us with His grace. Let's move on. There's a third thing I want us to notice about the grace of God in the midst of dangers, toils, and snares. And thirdly, is that this fact here, God remembers and interpretations belong to Him. God remembers and interpretations belong to Him. This morning as we close out our time together, if you haven't heard anything else I've said, please listen to this, because this is the main point, I believe, of the passage. There are two verses in chapter 40 that really stick out. Two verses. The first one I want to point out is the last verse of the passage, verse 23. And I want you to read what it says here. It says, "Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but he forgot him." What heartbreaking words those are. Here is Joseph, a man who has been faithful to God. He's been sold into slavery by his brothers, sent off to Egypt. He gets a break and he's in Potiphar's house, and all of a sudden he's accused of rape. He's thrown back into prison. He can't get a break. All of a sudden he gets a break. He interprets this guy's dream, and he says, "Remember me," but the guy forgets about him. And some of you are here today and you're wondering, has God remembered you? You're wondering, I'm going through toil and danger and strife and a difficult situation. And Brother Marcus, where is God? Where is He? I can't see His hand. I can't sense His presence. And friend, I want to assure you by the truth of the Word, God has not forgotten you. When men fail us and when men forget us, I want to promise you something. Jesus Christ has not forgotten you. He paid the price for your sin and my sin on Calvary's cross. God has remembered you. Even when you can't see His hand, you can know He's orchestrating and putting things together for a purpose. There's another verse that really stands out in this passage I want to close with this morning. It's back up towards the middle in verse 8. I want you to see what Joseph says to these two men when they tell him, "We've got a dream and we don't know how to understand it or interpret it." Notice what Joseph says to these men. Don't miss this. He says, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" I want you to think about what Joseph is saying. Joseph is saying to these men, you're in the midst of a confusing situation. You don't understand what this dream means. You don't understand where your future is headed. And Joseph is saying to him, it's not me that can tell you that. Joseph is saying, it's up to God. And friends, you might be sitting in the very same road this morning. You might not have a dream that you need interpreted, but you've got a life situation that needs interpreting. And nobody can seem to give you an answer. God doesn't seem to be giving you an answer, but friend, I want you to rest assured by the promise in God's Word, interpretations belong to Him. We might not have all the answers, but I guarantee you, the Heavenly Father who put together the universe and the stars and the sun and the moon and this earth that we live on, He is still in control today. Nothing has caught Him by surprise. And He has your situation in hand. Amen. Will you trust Him today? I want to remind you of what Hebrews 13:5 says. "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." Think about the disciples as they were gathered around the cross. And Jesus, their Savior, the one that they've forsaken all to follow, is hanging there being crucified. They don't know what they're going to do. They don't know where they're going to turn. All their hopes and dreams are crucified and ended on that cross. What are they going to do next? Little did they know. 3 days later, Sunday came and God had a plan. And friends, God has a plan for your life and for my life. Interpretations belong to Him. This morning, I want to close by sharing with you just briefly the story of the guy who writes Amazing Grace. I'm sure you've heard this before. His name is John Newton. And I want you to know, when John Newton writes those beautiful words to that classic hymn that we sing and we love to hear the tune of, he writes those words with passion and with meaning. Because John Newton was a man. He had a father who was a shipping merchant. He never got to see him a whole lot. John Newton was a guy who had a mother that died of tuberculosis when he was only 6 years old. John Newton was a guy who got sent off to a ship to be an apprentice at the age of 11. And he started sailing the high seas. He was known for his extraordinarily foul mouth. He was known for his distaste for religion and for God. Wanted to have nothing to do with it. That Christianity stuff didn't mean anything to me. He was back and forth trading slaves. And all of a sudden, God got his attention and grace captured his life. He had a stroke. He had to quit sailing the seas. And all of a sudden, God called him to ministry. And he started to write hymns. And towards the latter years of his life, he started to write that beautiful hymn that we sing and that we love and that we adore. And I want you to listen to the words of Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. These, no doubt, had an influence on why he wrote those words. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 2. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves." It's a gift of God. "Not as a result of works, so that no man may boast." And friends, if you're here today and you're wondering, is God's hand at work in your life? "Brother Marcus, I'm going through danger and toil and strife." Friend, the Apostle Paul said it best. God's grace is present. It's at work. It's just as John Newton wrote in that third verse, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home." I pray today that grace would capture our hearts and that grace would lead us home. Will you bow with me for prayer today? Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your grace. Your grace that has reached down out of heaven based on nothing we've done. Your grace that has touched our life. Lord, thank you for that so much today. And Lord, I want to pray for my church, for my people. Lord, I love them so much. And I know that today in this room, there is heartache and there's hurt in their life. Lord, I know that there are some of them here today that are going through danger, toil, and snare. Life has just thrown them a chaotic situation. They've got trouble at work. They've got trouble in their marriage. They've got illness in their family. They don't know where to turn. God, they apparently can't see your hand, and they're wondering, are you at work? Are you there? Lord, today, would you remind us your grace is always present. This is what's been reaching down into our lives through people. It's reaching into our lives through the gifts that you've given us. God, you're always remembering us and thinking about us. Lord, you're empowering us to live a life for you today. Lord, today as we have this time of decision, it's my prayer that you would move, that you would touch our hearts. Lord, I know that there is someone here today that needs to give their life to you. They need to surrender their heart and be saved, and be forgiven of their sins, be washed by your cleansing blood. Lord, I know that there are those of us here today, we're saved, but we've missed hearing your voice. We've missed being reminded about your powerful grace. Call us home today, dear God. May this not be a status quo kind of time during the invitation. Well, we want you to be honored. We want you to move in our midst. And we plead this and we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Church, this morning during our invitation time, we're going to do something a little different. Brother Derek is going to sing for us Amazing Grace. And this morning, I'm going to ask that we just spend time in silent meditation. I'm going to ask that we remain seated, that we just prayerfully pray before God, asking Him to remind us of His grace. Pray up these words that Brother Derek is going to sing on our behalf today. And if